Madam Chair, Representative Erdahl is here, so we can start now. So, Madam Chair, well, I was going to take up Rochester, but I see Senator Senjum's not here yet. So, while we wait, I believe Representative Marquardt's been working with Senator Skoy on a motion on some of the, I think he's got about four of the property tax provisions we probably can adopt as a group. So, Representative Marquardt. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Here it is. I will move to approve House Article 1, Section 13. That's on page 4. That's the LLC Farm Homestead. I don't know if that's the correct way to phrase it. But, the Westrum. Article 1, Section 13. And Article 1, Section 38, the Thief River Falls Olin Bill, page 10.
Page 10.
Then Senate provision, Article 4, Section 24, on page 5, the Homestead Resort. Page 5. And Article 4, Section 26, the last part of that section, page 6, the Marina. That's the motion, Mr. Chair.
Madam Chair, Senator Skoy and Representative Marquardt have done a good job here. The houses get a little something they want. The Senate's getting a little something they want. Everybody will be happy. It's actually a pretty good compromise between the houses.
I thought it was.
Everyone gets a little something.
On the Marquardt motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. A motion passes. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, Senator Olsen has been working with the department and staff and has come up with some language on this determination of value that we've discussed a couple different times. I think everybody's on board. I don't know if Mr. Hagan is here and wants to speak with it or not, but Senator Olsen has worked hard on this. And so I would move the amendment that I passed out. It's ASHGA Valuation 2.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
We've worked on that, and I know staff's had a good chance to look at that, and I think this is good.
This is the Green Acres valuation.
The rural preserve.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, I think
trust in you guys. This is that Green Acres.
I think the major change from what was originally drafted was they took and had a lot of discussion about whether it should be minor adjustments or just adjustments, and I think the compromise language is reasonable adjustments. They've come up with a pretty good language.
Representative Marquardt.
And this is in lieu of the Article 4, Section 16 of the Senate bill. That's the part that's on the side by side. It's a not a new one, I guess. Amended. So whatever page that was on.
Page 2, the bottom.
There you go, bottom of page 2. So it's referring to that section, Article 4, Section 16. Just so you know where that's at.
Good. Can you fly with it? That one. This one we already did. LLC.
Green Acres.
Got it.
Your chain on it?
Yeah. That was on the
no list. That was on the
other one. Oh. Homestead Resort was on my no
list. The Senate makes a tough deal.
I think these two did that because some of those were on my no list too.
We're going to have to come up with, we have to get behind a
See
pillar
my
the
turn next
break.
Madam Chair, the Thief River Falls Airport was on my no list.
Man. Okay.
Wasn't that the omnibus bed policy amendment?
But, there's not a lot there to be proud of in that motion.
That's under my political problem list. All right. It's over, though. It's gone.
It's over.
Now we're on Green Acres.
The world will not fall apart.
We did the Green Acres.
We haven't adopted it yet.
Okay.
I threw it on the floor already. But
okay,
on the Skoy motion, on the ASHGA Valuation 2 amendment, drafted by House Research. So if there's anything wrong with this, House Research drafted this. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. The motion prevails.
Okay, so this is done.
No Senator Senjum yet. Detroit.
Detroit Lakes.
Should do Detroit Lakes.
Is that your, you
want to tackle it?
Is that your district?
No, it's his district.
Okay, so we don't need Center Lakes out there?
No.
In fact, yeah, okay, that was, yeah, that's right, Center Lakes. Oh, what page, oh, here we go.
What page from San Marcos?
It is page 26. And that, initially in, Mr. Chair, initially in the House bill, we had an entertainment tax, but I like the Senate has done this food and beverage up to a 1 cent. And that's for a control of flowering rush. They've got a big problem there. And of course, that's a huge tourist area in the summertime. So that's kind of getting into some of their beaches and so forth. And then numbers.
Okay.
Bike trails, parking improvements in the public facilities along the lake, and then a redevelopment area along Highway 10. They came in a couple years ago and realigned Highway 10 and did a new thing. And now they're working on some redevelopment in that area.
Representative Marquardt, I was at. On December 9th of 2008, I was at the City Council meeting of the very last meeting of Mayor Buchholz. Hmm. And earlier that day, I met with officials from the city. In fact, I believe I had a copy of the new redevelopment plan around Highway 10 before Senator Langseth even had a copy. And I stayed for the City Council meeting that night, and they had a nice tribute to Mayor Buchholz after all those years that he served this city.
Yeah.
And he also was an advocate for rural cities, and most rural cities probably wouldn't know former Mayor Buchholz if you walked in the door, but he did a lot of work for cities all around the state on local government aid. So I am aware there's this pretty significant redevelopment plan now that Highway 10 is completed going through town. So that's why it's in the bill. I think we understand that. I personally understand it because I've been through that book, and it's a pretty significant undertaking on their part. So I would like to help them accomplish that. The reason we took the entertainment tax out is we had quite a discussion about kind of where does it start and where does it end relative to high school sporting events and, you know, other entertainment venues that might not be. I think the reason it was in was they were hoping to capture Wii Fest somehow, I believe, is what I was told. They were figuring somehow there was some opportunity at Wii Fest to capture some money, and I think we kind of felt that maybe increasing the food and beverage tax for 12 months a year probably might be a better policy than trying to capture one large venue.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And that, yes, I did call the city today and verify they did not want to do the entertainment tax.
So, Representative Marquardt moves. Representative Riddle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question. I noticed that this one authorized it without a referendum. You know, other provisions we've looked at had to have referendums. And what is the determination deciding this?
The law requires a referendum where there's a local option sales, the general sales tax. It does not require a referendum for food and beverage or lodging. That's current law. So we'd be setting a pretty new precedent if we required referendums for food and beverage going forward. Because the communities that have it now haven't had referendums. There hasn't been one required. So it seems a little unfair to ask Detroit Lakes to do it when other communities haven't had to.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Marquardt.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Representative Erdahl?
No, I'm just thanking them for letting the rookie know what was going on.
Okay. I guess I would like to ask the commissioner, you know, as we're doing these, and I don't like to use the
don't even ask.
Probably call it.
Well, I guess I would like to hear his comments again on how. I mean, we haven't done these in the past. I mean, is this going to create a real problem if we put these in on the food and beverage without a referendum?
Chairman, Representative Marquardt, you know, when I had my initial meeting with the governor to go over this bill,
he was pretty adamant that he wanted his, first of all, I guess I'll preface by saying his preference was to have the moratorium, not only on the sales taxes, but on all the local option taxes. And so he was very sympathetic to your initial position, Madam Chair, about extending the moratorium, maybe even expanding the moratorium to include other local option taxes. I said that was probably not going to be a viable position, knowing what I about the two bills. So his fallback was, well, if you want to impose them, I think a referendum should be required of all these local option taxes. And that's the most recent discussion I had. He never used the word veto, but I when I talked to this governor, I know where he stands on issues like this, and I would just say not putting a referendum for these local option taxes would potentially jeopardize the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lucheski.
Commissioner, and so when he said local option, did you took that to mean everything, including lodging, food and beverage, everything?
Chairman, Representative Lucheski, I was very explicit with him. I walked him through and I said, our past practice has been referendum on the standard local option sales taxes, but in the past we have allowed the imposition of food and beverage taxes, entertainment taxes, without a local referendum. He says, Ward, I understand that, but at this point in time, I don't want to do anything on these local option taxes without a referendum requirement. We did talk about the lodging tax, Representative Lucheski, and he was comfortable with the 3% that's in current law that's used for 95% used for tourism purposes. It seems to me that there's some exceptions to that in here where the resources are being used for something other than the standard tourism promotion of tourism. And so he did not explicitly say those lodging taxes would need a referendum, but he did not like the precedent of using tourism lodging taxes for purposes that were not related to the standard tourism.
So, Mr. Chair.
Representative Chesky.
Commissioner, is he going to stay firm on that with the Vikings proposal then, too? Because on the Twins proposal, that was not his position. So I like the change. Particularly if we start looking at a Vikings stadium before the end of the year, that goes for all those taxes, too. They'd all need a referendum.
Chairman, Representative Lucheski, I have not talked explicitly about anything beyond what was in this bill.
Yeah. I think we should have the referendum, Mr. Chair. No, we have a lot of members' bills. They want to get signed. The governor's going to veto it.
Madam Chair, let's put it in and do it kind of how we've done it before. If maybe the commissioner can circle back with the governor after he's had a nice weekend fishing up in my district, and I guess if we're certain that it's going to draw a veto, I'm willing to revisit this issue before we sign the conference committee report.
About all of them? Do you want to do this one?
I'm just referring to Detroit Lakes right now.
Senate language. So I think we'd want a referendum.
With or without a referendum?
Without one. There's not one required in law.
You haven't. You heard the word. We should do one.
I think it sets a very dangerous precedent going forward. If we're going to, because this governor insists on one today, we're going to have one or two cities here are going to have been required to do a referendum. We're going to get a different governor next year, and the current law, the law is that one's not required. So it just seems unfair to Detroit Lakes and Marshall that they have to incur the cost of a referendum that is certain to pass, I think. And then next year we're going to come here and go back to current law and we're not going to require one because one's not required.
I'm
sure, did we require one in Bloomington for the food and beverage or the lodging for the mall earlier this year?
No, Mr. Chair, I think you're right. That, you know, I've raised this before. We've never required them. On the other hand, we have all these members' bills in this bill. We've adopted all kinds of provisions, and I know the commissioner is very careful not to say for sure one thing will be vetoed or another. Seems maybe, I don't know really what to do here. Maybe we should think about it.
Well, okay. We haven't adopted any of the other local sales tax or food and beverage yet anyway, so I guess we don't have to do that. I thought this one would be the first.
Yeah, we did the Rookavina one.
Yeah. there was nobody to vote there because it was a recreation area. I think that was.
Yeah, that's right. We could put a referendum on anyhow.
It was a golf course. I guess you could have people
tee
vote
off and vote
as they go by the ninth hole or something. Maybe.
Well, we should talk about that.
Okay, let's visit about it further, maybe.
Yeah, let's just do that. Maybe.
Somebody from the coalition talk about Rochester? Or anybody find Senator Senjum? Anybody? Madam Chair, did you hear the Rochester? Do you have something in on Rochester?
We do, and we talked about it a lot. So I don't know how much we all need to know here.
Where is it?
Page 26. Page 26.
Similar.
We have the same language. Why didn't we adopt? Oh, I suppose the two have to go together, right?
Well, I think you and I should just talk about all these.
Want to wait on this?
I mean, I think we should just try to make a decision. Do one big motion.
I want to do any promotion.
I don't know. I mean, unless folks, we had a pretty thorough vetting of this. I don't know how much we need to. This isn't one where one side has and the other doesn't. We just have different things. This is where they wanted to bond.
Like this one?
These taxes already exist.
Right.
Right.
Like Proctor. Tax already exists. We might be able to work on the language on Proctor a little bit. Make it more palatable to the House.
We still have to get to my amendment that everyone gets a local option sales tax. If we're doing things like Proctor, then it's everybody.
I think maybe we should wait for Senator Senjum and see how, because I don't know how he feels for sure about these provisions. I know there's been, Senator Lynch introduced a bill, I think, for an extension of the sales tax in Rochester. I don't believe Senator Senjum signed on it. So I don't know if there's controversy around these provisions between the two senators who represent Rochester, but I know under one of the other ones there is.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Peterson.
Bradley Peterson from Flaherty and Hood on behalf of the City of Rochester. Just to clarify on the provisions that are included in here, both Senator Lynch and Senator Senjum were co-authors together.
Mr. Peterson, why don't you tell us what the provisions in the bill do?
Absolutely. As you recall, last year, in anticipation of funding the city's share of a Mayo City Civic Center expansion, the legislature authorized Rochester to impose an additional percentage on their lodging tax and a new 1% food and beverage lodging tax. And it was passed last year. The city has not imposed the tax yet. There are some conditions on which they can do that once they actually get the bonding money from the state. And in preparation for efforts this year, the city's bond council and city staff were looking at the language that was authorized and realized that we had not put in any provisions around issuing bonds. And so this is really technical language that clarifies that. It allows the city to issue general obligation bonds backed by these taxes so that they can get a lower interest rate. Without this language, they would be theoretically able to issue revenue bonds, but because of the current lending environment, it wouldn't make the project feasible. And so this language really would allow them to issue the bonds at a lower rate and do the project as it's been envisioned.
Why did we do Rochester last year? It's all a blur to me. We approved the local option last year for Rochester.
Mr. Pierce, when did we approve the local option for Rochester?
The last local option sales tax, to my recollection, might have been, I think, some additional authorization was given in 2005, perhaps. I think their current local option sales tax they are expecting will expire or will raise the amount of money that was authorized by the legislature sometime at the end of 2011 or very early 2012.
Okay. And the Senate language is slightly different. Also, can you tell me what the difference is between the language between the House and the Senate? Yeah.
Yes, the House language requires an election from the bond unless the food and lodging taxes are going to pay at least 20% of the bonds, and the Senate language does not have that provision.
Is that in the bill?
No. Mr. Chair, the bill as introduced is reflected in the Senate language. When the House put together their property and sales tax article, they removed the language that would have let the city do this without a referendum, because there's a requirement in law that when you issue some bonds, you need to do a referendum. The language in your bill says that they don't have to issue a referendum. The House language said that they did. The current language that is in the House side was offered as an amendment by Representative Liebling and was passed in committee during the markup of the tax bill in committee.
Representative Liebling wanted the election?
Well,
she was trying to save her provision.
She was the functional, they're functionally the same, really, because these bonds will be 100% backed by these taxes, and so they'd meet that 20% threshold.
So, Mr. Peterson, it doesn't matter which provision we adopt?
They're functionally the same. I think the city has a slight preference for the Senate language because it's a little bit clearer, but really it probably doesn't matter.
Madam Chair, were you aware that Representative Liebling kind of hoodwinked you on this one?
No, it was a roll call. I was completely aware of what was going on at the time. She convinced enough of her colleagues. On a roll call. Ms. Bergman was roll calling.
Was busy
that day.
Representative Erdahl, how did you vote on that roll call? Do you remember?
I wasn't there.
Well, that's right. Representative Conan, did you side with the chair or Representative Liebling?
You know, I honestly don't remember.
He was too busy blowing up our moratorium to remember.
It happened the same day?
Yeah, it was at the same time.
The chair might remember
Hutchinson
how you voted.
And Rochester and all kinds of stuff was going on.
Representative Loeffler, do you remember how you voted?
It was a bad day. You should watch our tape.
It would have been against the chair. Representative Marquardt?
Mr. Chair, I've just been informed here by staff that what we're doing is treating these like general obligation bonds that are funded through special assessments.
I might add, Senator, if I had been there, I would have voted with the chair.
Would it have been a tie?
Yeah.
That was a whole bunch of close votes all day. There was two or three people kept flipping around and changing the game all the time. I don't know.
Representative Marker, what? Yeah, these are now going to be GO bonds instead of revenue bonds, correct?
Correct.
Is that what it's all about? Ms. Dalton, is that what this is about?
GO bonds being
electronic. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that is what it's about. That generally GO bonds require a referendum. In the past, when we've allowed bonds to be issued in conjunction with a general sales tax, we have put in language that said, you don't have to have a second election for the bonds if you had the first election to impose a general sales tax. These bonds are being funded by two taxes that we didn't hold, that didn't require a referendum. So the question becomes, you never had a referendum for the taxes. Should you be still holding a referendum for the bonds? The compromise that was proposed by Representative Liebling was to treat them similar to the way we treat special GO bonds that are backed by special assessments.
Well, because of the threshold percentage on the amount of food and beverage taxes collected, the House language doesn't require a referendum. Is that practical effect of this?
The practical effect is it doesn't matter. You're still not going to have a referendum.
So why don't we just be honest about that?
And not do either one?
And do this. Oh. I mean, if we're going to do this and there's not going to be a referendum, why don't we just say that instead of, I mean, we know there's not going to be a referendum.
We got to get to my amendment pretty soon here. Let's just give them to everybody. Be done with it.
Well, this isn't giving, this isn't authorizing a new tax.
Well.
Just changing the kind of bond, I think, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, the tax was authorized last year.
Not everyone can afford a lobbyist, so, you know. This is, whatever. We should talk about these.
As you want to talk about this one?
I mean, all of them.
The package.
Yeah. Not vote right now.
Okay.
Plus, he's not here.
We should wait. Well, I would be interested in knowing what Senator Sengem actually thinks about this. I mean, a GO bond versus a revenue bond are two different things.
Yep.
But we shouldn't fool ourselves that we're going to require a referendum if we adopt one of the two provisions.
Right.
That's all. Do we have anything else that's kind of
we can do this finished? One so Michael can explain the technical.
Mr. Michael, the A56 amendment. Explain to us what that is about.
To the top. Two of these changes were requests from bond council, and the third change, that both bills added HRAs and EDAs to the type of entities that could do this, and this adds board authority. So two sort of technical changes requested by bond council and then added board authorities to the types of implementing entities.
Senator Squid, move the A56. Senator Wah? Senator Wah moves the A56. Any questions? Anybody want to testify on this provision?
Only if you need to.
Ms. Honey, are you going to go home if we adopt this?
If I need to.
Is this all...
I'll do it.
Is this like your provision you've been waiting around for days? Okay. We don't want to be sitting here alone at midnight. We get too much of this done. On the Moi motion to adopt the A56, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no, the motion prevails. Just kind of looking at my list here. You know, there was a, let's talk about the, just briefly, because the ringtone provision that the Senate has, it's a streamlined sales tax piece. It looks like it's Senate Article 2, Section 2. Page 18. Let's see what that's about.
24 Oh, yeah.
Madam Chair, I know how you like to stay in compliance with streamlining.
I do.
So, is there a reason the House doesn't have this provision?
Mr. Chair, there is. I like the other way to stay in compliance. The governor is not going to sign the other way. I think to get this way, you have to get some money. There's no money. I like the way, I'm put it this way, I'll just be honest. I'm trying to outlast the governor. I think that the right way to solve this compliance issue is the other way. And I think that is the way that a next governor could sign the bill. And I know we're risking something with compliance, but the commissioner's testimony in the House was, it's maybe not that big of a deal. So I think one, I can't remember if you had to find $800,000, $900,000 for this provision, something like that. The other way, raise like $11 million, or maybe I have the numbers off, but it was significantly different.
Let's do the other one.
And I think we were looking at this solution that you have as the one that was cost the least, and if you could find the money, you could at least get in compliance and that the governor would sign it. I mean, that was my take on it. But I think it's the wrong policy. And so if we do this now, then I think we're kind of, you know, we'll all forget about the question. And if we do nothing, it's going to come back next year, and we're all going to go, oh, yeah. And I think the other way is the, there were authors on both sides who heard those last year. I think ours was Dabney and you, Senator Bach. See, I like your way better. That's what I'm saying. And if you do this one, I think it takes the pressure off doing it the, we'll just all forget about it. That's what I think. And we'll give up the revenue that goes with it.
Madam Chair, you're the author of the House file.
I am? Okay.
This,
I'm opposed to it.
It's on line 18 of the spreadsheet.
18.
It raises 100 or costs $175,000.
Is that all? Yeah.
175 and 11. Commissioner, are we at any risk with Streamline here by not doing these kind of things, or?
Chairman, we are at some risk. There's no question we're out of compliance currently. I think your provision is the one that would be acceptable to the governor, exempting the ringtones. Cost $200,000, I believe. The other one that Representative Lencheski mentioned, taxing the digital downloads, my recollection was about $1.5 million a year. It was just under $2 million a year. There's a third way. Chairman, this may be a little bit premature because there's a third way. The Streamline Sales Tax Committee met out in D.C. earlier this month, I believe it was, and Larry Wilkie, Assistant Commissioner Larry Wilkie, went out there and actually delivered an amendment to the Streamline Sales Tax, which would basically ask them to allow us to continue tax ringtones as we currently do and not be ruled materially out of compliance. They advised Assistant Commissioner Larry Wilkie that they would take that under consideration in late fall, early winter, render a decision. So we're hoping that maybe they will give us a safe harbor on that and it won't be an issue. If it is, the two tax chairs can come back next legislative session and try to determine what's the best way to resolve it.
Well, my numbers sure were off there, but one this raises revenue, one costs. Since we're out of compliance in September.
We are.
Answer on the mic. You know, and Mr. Chair, this is the revenue estimate for the other way. I got to believe that just grows over time. I don't know.
$4 million for the next biennium. Tax.
This is a cost.
Digital downloads. What do you want to do, Madam Chair? I just wanted to raise it because of the Streamline issue.
We should wait. Ms. Dalton says iTunes is already collecting in 19 other states.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
But they're not collecting in Minnesota.
The governor says no.
No voting rights or something.
I don't know. And then there's and then you got to come up with the money. We should just wait.
Do you want to do the Senate provision? I think, Madam Chair, if we raise the money, the finance committees are going to let us keep it.
Maybe not this year.
Maybe we shouldn't tell them. Okay, we'll take a pass on that, I guess.
Here's the one he was just telling us about, the one in your bill.
Oh, LRT and county bonding. Senate Article 3. Page 34. Let's look at page 34. Senate Article 5, page 34, Senate Article 5, sections 2 and 3.
Sections.
Page 34?
Yeah, 34.
Oh, right here. Oh, okay. I think that makes sense.
Mr. Michael, can you tell me what the Senate's doing here that the House is not doing? I'm skeptical if they're so excited about adopting this.
Oh, it's just on a list of technical cleanups.
Mr. Michael, what are we doing here?
There's the provision in the county capital improvement program bonding law that says counties cannot use that authority for light rail and related, or anything related to light rail. And the Senate bill strikes that language in the statewide law and also in the special county law. This was never introduced as a bill. It sort of came up late, and the House just never got, it never got heard or wasn't raised in the House.
You guys not pay for it. Dumps it on the metro.
This one doesn't cost anything.
Not you.
Senator,
cost the metro.
Senator Mois moves on page 34, Senate Article 5, sections 2 and 3. Anybody like to testify on this provision?
That's, yeah. I don't know where it
came. Mr. Shriver?
Oh, is that who came?
Shriver's been here all day waiting for this.
That's correct, Mr.
Never
Chairman.
Never told me about it.
Bill Shriver representing Hennepin County on this issue. As Joel Michael indicated, this actually goes back to 1988 when this comprehensive statute was adopted that allowed counties to bond for public infrastructure, particularly jails. And not many people around yet, but prior to that day, getting jails built in Minnesota was an extremely challenging process because it required a vote of the people. And many counties could not convince their electorate that voting for a property tax increase in order to build a jail was in their best interest. The legislators would come in and they would introduce special legislation to allow Pennington County or wherever it might be to do a jail bond without a referendum. The legislature concluded they'd had enough of that and they wanted to give the authority to counties to bond for public infrastructure type of projects. And they listed the kind of activities and they went beyond by saying that it had to be a supermajority, not just a majority of the board. This was in 1988. At the time, there was an aggressive county commissioner in the metropolitan area that had a vision for light rail. And as Speaker Vinosik would said at that time, he said, I thought we were all okay when there were only three lines, but when he came up with the fourth line in Hennepin County and we concluded all it took was four votes, on a bipartisan basis, legislators decided they better put a restriction on. Now, it hasn't been a problem that they don't have the ability to fund light rail with this bonding authority because there are other mechanisms for doing that. The problem now, today, by bond council is this language that says anything related to it. So bond council questions, if you move a county road over 6 feet in order to accommodate a light rail station, is that anything related to light rail? You know, so it's in the eyes of the beholder, and bond council suggests that this language is really creating some unintended consequences. Over the last 20-some years, we have established mechanisms for funding light rail. Regional rail authorities and now CTIB and the state of Minnesota putting in a little bit. We don't need this protection in law as it relates to this particular infrastructure authority that's granted to counties. So that's it on the general law. Quite frankly, it only applies to Ramsey and Hennepin right now. It could to other counties in the future. And then there's a special Hennepin County law that is more for property cleanup that has to be done in conjunction with other cities. It started out to clean up Shingle Creek, which is goes through five communities in Hennepin County. But at that was in, I think, 2001, where there was a chair that was still concerned that they might use this for building light rail. So we put in similar language, not only for light rail, but for community rail, and also this language that says, or anything related to it. And for Hennepin County, that's creating an issue as it relates to cleaning up polluted properties, and it begs the question, is this related to lighter commuter rail? And of course, either of those, it's not unusual in an urban setting that you would have polluted properties. So the suggestion of bond council is try to remove the language. That's what Senator Rest's amendment does. And this does not grant any new authority to Hennepin County to issue debt for new activities.
Mr. Shriver, what years were you the tax chair in the House?
85, 86.
So they did this after you left.
That's correct. But I was still in the legislature, and Senator or Representative, former Speaker Vanosik, and I have had some discussions about who may perhaps put the amendment in. I said it could have been me. I'm trying to get it out now, and Speaker Vanosik says, no, I think it was me. So it was clearly done on a bipartisan basis.
Is the county commissioner still alive?
Still alive, but no longer on the county board.
Who's that?
John Duras, I bet.
Who?
John Duras.
Who's that?
Most people in the room know that commissioner.
Yeah.
We're gonna get.
I live in Hennepin County.
We gonna get any pushback from him on this, or has he seen the light on rail?
Oh well, this was to hold back Commissioner Duras's efforts.
He'll be happy with this.
Well, the other mechanisms are in place for funding light rail, no matter what
county. That you know who he is? I live in Hennepin County. I don't know who he is. Is he a former legislator?
County commissioner.
He was replaced by Commissioner Opat, who is currently chairman.
You were here in
85. Senator
Moore. Mr. Shriver, so this language applies only to Hennepin County? Doesn't affect anyone else?
No, the general law applies to all 87 counties, but the only two counties that currently have light rail would be Ramsey and Hennepin. So it would be applicable for those two counties as it relates to the general law, and as it relates to a special law, 383B, that only applies to Hennepin.
Mr. Shriver, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, when Mr. Shriver mentioned who that was, I knew it was John Duras. And I'm going to tell you, when I was came down here for League of Minnesota Cities Conference, early 90s, I think it was, as mayor, and we first time I ever watched a hearing. Went into the hearing room, and I remember it was John Duras talking about light rail. And that's, I always remembered that name, and that's why when you brought that up, it just, but first hearing I ever saw down here, so.
And he had a passion.
Yeah, that's all I remember.
He still does.
That's correct.
Yeah, he had.
Thank you.
Must not have been in the suburbs of Hennepin County.
Madam Chair, do you see the value of some of the lobbyists in the room now? They bring some historical perspective that's very important for those of us that are newer.
That's right.
On the MWA motion to adopt Senate Article 5, Sections 3 or 2 and 3, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary, no, the motion prevails. What else do we have for some small little, seems to me I got a little list here.
What is this typed up? It's pretty nice. I got a few scratches of paper.
We got this little REIT provision. It's in both bills. Maybe the commissioner could explain why we don't tax these dividends again. We got the 800 megahertz radio.
That's one I forgot to mention.
We don't have any money for that.
We don't have any sheriffs here. I think we have sheriffs here. Mr. Highland here? One day, could you get some chairs?
Mr. Chair, we don't have any money.
We might have before we're done. We might have.
No, Mr. Chair, just so you know on that, the folks who want that, the rest of the part of the state who wants it, comes in and testifies that this other part of the state got it. They forget before somebody got those exemptions. There's a whole bunch of cities who paid for it on the property tax with no exemptions.
But wasn't that our earlier system?
When they actually
got the 800 megahertz, didn't they get the exemption? That same group of cities?
They had to do a bit of an upgrade.
And did they get the exemption on that?
It's a very minor piece. But, you know, the folks who are advocating for this talk about fairness with the people who came before them, but they don't understand that before them are all the people who just paid on the property tax, like in my community. And we didn't get an exemption for anything either. So, I mean, the history on that is always interesting, how far people are willing to go back. So, you know, we don't have any money anyhow, and if we did, we probably need to create a system to refund all the folks who aren't getting anything out of the deal. It's all public safety for everybody.
Senator Skoy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Representative Lencheski. We had a fair amount of information provided to us, and it looked to me like the funding for this is all over the place, depending upon how much federal grants, and there was state grants, and some communities paid a lot, and some communities didn't. And there's really, you can't go back and start trying to, I mean, it's just all over the place. It doesn't make sense.
That's why we should just stop.
Well, but the recent past is that folks get the sales tax exemption.
It's true, Mr. Chair, in the recent past, but it makes the folks who never got anything continue to subsidize everyone else because it's coming from state sources.
But, Madam Chair, they might have gotten federal grants. We did look at a fair amount of that list, and most communities got some support.
But not all, and that's what I'm saying.
It is all over the board. Some communities didn't put any local property tax dollars
in. Some put 100%.
Some have federal money. I mean, I remember one of my early years here, there was a state bonding provision for a significant build-out of this system, of state bonding.
I think in a time with no money, it's not something to tackle.
I'm sure we can make money. I would think if we made it and spent it in the bill on tax relief, it should be revenue neutral. Not a tax increase if you spend it on a tax reduction. Not today.
I don't see the problem. We didn't do anything on that.
The Goodrich provision, Madam Chair, our reliever we brought in. Vincey, maybe we should do that. Did we do the air flight property tax provision? Did the House language?
Yep. We did? Yep. Was that part of that quick motion with you from Marquardt that we didn't know what was going on?
No. That was last night.
Well, it was last night when we didn't know what was going on.
I think, Madam Chair, how about... For Senator Olsen, how about a little something on the Senate's covenant? Yeah, Senate's covenant.
These guys. Chair.
Maybe, Madam Chair, I got a note here. We're supposed to come up and talk to the Speaker and the Majority Leader. Maybe you and I can go do that, and maybe the committee members could talk about Senator Olsen's covenant provision. Let's see if we could get...
I think
get
we talked about that. That last
time. We haven't done anything yet.
Well, that's the House position.
I think we'd like to see
the House come. Argument of coming to here. And
we'd kind of like to see the House come our way a little. We wouldn't expect you to come all the way our way, but we'd
like to
see.
You want us to take a vote on that quick before we go up?
We'd like you to see if you could come partly our way on that.
We have talked about it. Senator Olsen's not here. We could just vote on that.
Well, I don't
see how that goes.
I don't think Senator Olsen wants us to vote on the provision in the bill. I think he had a kind of a hybrid.
And well, we could vote on the hybrid, too.
willing to consider.
So I think there's going to be three no's no matter what it is. A couple of yeses, though, I think. I'm just trying to save time.
I think
it's 10:30 on Friday.
I think for the right proposal, there might be three yeses. Just don't know quite what it is yet. But maybe we left the other committee members to talk about it. Maybe they could come up with a little something. We could get three votes on each side.
Or, Mr. Chair, they could work on stuff that could get done, and they could pass it and adopt it and keep things rolling here. Because you know what I heard? Okay, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but when we left, the speaker stopped by, was walking to the retirement room, and we were eating, and you know, we were talking about how it was going, and Ms. Baker, I believe it was, said, you know, they really got a lot done when Senator Scoy and Representative Marquardt were chairing. I think it was Ms. Baker. I don't want to get her in trouble here, but somebody threw that out, that the productive time. So maybe we want them to go at it again.
Madam Chair, you think there might have been an inference there that things go better when you're not in the room?
No, I think it was both of us.
Both of us?
Oh, yeah. We were up at the last time we left for this kind of a meeting was some I stuff got done.
I misunderstood.
I think it was both of us.
Comment.
Yes.
Well, if there are things, maybe...
Can we really take a vote, Mr. Chair?
Or we can take a...
We take a biological break.
Except they can't vote.
Well, why don't we see if we can work out? I think Rep. Zolstein's willing to compromise on the Senate position. It does seem like 10 years is kind of a bit of an outlier from the other covenants that we have.
Do a 15-minute recess. If you can, if you don't have the votes.
I guess if I leave, we won't have three. So why don't we recess until 11? And then that'll give us adequate time to go meet with the speaker and the majority leader. And Representative Marquardt, if you can work with Senator Scoy a little bit, maybe let's see if we can find a little middle ground there. It seems like the 10-year covenant is really kind of an outlier. It seemed like the other covenants were a shorter period of time than that. See if we can. See if we can do something. Committee's in recess till 11 p.m.
Oh, it's completely.